Hello and welcome to Virtus Voices. This is Joe Terranova, Senior Managing Director and Chief Market Strategist for Virtus Investment Partners. Today, I have the privilege to be joined by Ben Caron, Senior Managing Director of Newfleet Asset Management. Ben is the co-portfolio manager of the Virtus Newfleet Low Duration Core Plus Bond Fund. He also assists in the management of the Virtus Newfleet Multi-Sector Short-Term Bond Fund and the Virtus Newfleet Multi-Sector Intermediate Bond Fund. Ben also assists on several closed-end funds, ETFs, and variable investment options. Overall, getting to know Ben over the last couple of years, I could offer with a high degree of confidence, Ben is an incredible, important, and integral part of the Newfleet story. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Joe.
Ben, let me begin by reflecting back upon 2019, if I could. Certainly, the consensus expectations for the fixed income market were somewhat dour. We were walking into 2019 with Treasury yields as related to the 10-year approaching 3%. If you could walk us through what happened in 2019 when we look at the fixed income markets, why was consensus so wrong, and how was Newfleet able to extract significant performance drivers in that environment for the multi-sector funds?
Great. Thank you, Joe. 2019, you started the year after a really rough fourth quarter, especially particularly rough last 3 weeks of the year in 2018. So one thing that benefited spread sectors and credit in 2019 and Newfleet was you came into the year with pretty attractive valuations given the spread widening you saw in December. And then also kind of mid-year, or actually earlier in the year, you had a dovish turn by global central banks and especially the Fed. So a combination of those two factors really paved the way for strong returns within fixed income in 2019. For example, you had investment-grade corporates, corporate high yield, and EM debt all up over 14%. And even bank loans, which didn't benefit from the decline in rates during 2019, were up almost 9% in 2019. So it was really driven, when you break it down, into a combination of spread tightening and a decline in U.S. Treasury yields. Now, although credit outperformed treasuries and credit did quite well in 2019, generally speaking, the higher quality within some of the higher beta credit sectors, such as high yield, bank loans, and EM, outperform, which is not always the case. And then in general, from a rates perspective, longer duration outperformed on a total return basis, with rates declining for most of the year. And then also late in the year, really more towards December, spread sectors were given a boost by the partial or phase one trade deal between the U.S. and China. And then looking at the fourth quarter just for a moment, similar to the full year 2019, spread sectors outperformed. However, the difference in the fourth quarter versus the full year was that rates actually increased during the quarter in contrast to the full year 2019. Now, looking at the Newfleet funds specifically, our suite of multi-sector funds, some of the key performance drivers for the year. First, our overweight to spread sectors and underweight to U.S. Treasuries was a primary positive. And then we had a higher quality positioning in some of the higher beta credit sectors, such as high yield loans, and those areas outperformed, which also benefited our performance. And then selection was particularly good across our full suite of multi-sector funds. And a couple sectors where it was particularly good was bank loans, corporate high yield, and the securitized sectors such as non-agencies and asset backs. And then looking at our allocation to some key sectors, the primary drivers from a sector perspective that helped performance, which are corporate high yield, investment-grade corporates, bank loans, and EM debt.
So in describing the critical performance drivers in 2019, does much change when you and the Newfleet team observes the current environment and sets forth a series of expectations for 2020? I think you would agree, certainly the fixed income market looks uniquely different than it did 1 year ago. Again, referring back to Treasury yields, we're 100 basis points lower than we were this time last January, and we have the introduction of negative rates, although not as intense as we witnessed in the summer of 19, but certainly still present when we look outside the U.S.
Yeah, that's all very, very true, Joe. I mean, you have coming into this year in 2020, unlike in coming into 2019, yields are significantly lower. Valuations are very full in a lot of fixed income sectors. So in our view, from a high level, a key to outperforming in 2020 will really be selection, so credit selection, and then positioning within sectors. generally speaking, the environment for credit is still in good shape. Fundamentals are good to solid. You have defaults are very low. For example, the high yield default rate's around 3%, and the long-term average is 4.1%. Bank loans, the default rate's pretty low at 1.4%, and the long-term average there is 3%. So fundamentals are good in fixed income. You still have strong demand, so technicals are in good shape. Deals in the fixed income markets have been significantly oversubscribed, whether it's an investment grade arena, EM, debt, and corporate high yield. So demand is there. So that's another positive for credit. And then from a broad market economic perspective, our view on growth is you'll see U.S. economic growth trending around 2%. That's a good environment. And inflation should stay well contained, so hovering around 2% plus or minus a little bit. And looking at central banks and specifically the Fed, we think for this year the Fed is on hold. They've indicated that they would need to see a meaningful, really sustained pickup in inflation to start raising rates, or on the other side, a meaningful growth slowdown or an increase in unemployment to cut rates based on their current assessment. So Fed on hold. In our view on rates, when you look at the U.S. 10-year as a proxy, you know, earlier coming into the year, our thought was maybe 175 to 225 for this year. It's kind of range bound. We've obviously broken through that on the downside, given some of the uncertainty in the market with the virus emanating out of China. So, and that recent situation has created some uncertainty. So our thoughts here, 225 on the upside probably for rates for this year, and maybe 150 on the downside, with potentially going lower depending on some of the uncertainty in the market right now. However, if we see growth pick up in the U.S. and globally, you still have a significant amount of negative yielding global debt in the world. For example, it peaked at negative yielding debt at $17 trillion, currently stands around $12.5 trillion, so still significant, and we think that'll keep a cap on rates on the upside if growth does pick up. We're still favorable on the U.S. consumer and the U.S. housing market, as well as mortgage credit, and this supports our allocation to asset-backed securities and non-agency mortgage-backed securities. Looking globally, global growth has been showing signs of stabilizing, especially in some EM countries. A couple of examples would be Brazil and Russia, just to name a few. And the emerging market, developed market growth differential has grown also. So that stands at around 3%. So EM countries are growing around 3% faster than developed market countries. And typically anything over 2% is favorable for EM. So that supports our allocation to EM debt. And just a couple areas, Joe, I'll get into some specific sectors where we're still seeing value as we progress through 2020. The investment-grade corporate sector. Overall, the valuations there are very full when you look at the index level. But coming back to selection and positioning within the sectors, we still find value and still like the BBB segment of the investment-grade corporate market. Now, that area has gotten a lot of press in the last year or so in concerns with downgrade risk. If that market's grown significantly over the last 10 years, and if you see mass downgrades, what does that mean for BBB corporates and for high yield? You know, that is a risk. It's something we look at very closely, but we do think it overall is overblown, and that a lot of the growth in the BBB segment of the market was really in some of your consumer non-cyclicals, healthcare, pharma, food and beverage, which were actually some of the best performers during the last credit cycle. And one interesting fact, Joe, I thought was interesting, is in 2019, even with all the press of the risk of downgrades and triple Bs, the volume of credits that were upgraded from high yield to investment grade exceeded those downgraded from triple B to high yield by the largest margin on record. So it's a space that we like. Selection's important, but a space that we still like. And then just quickly on the securitized area, you know, I mentioned we like asset-backed securities. You know, this area benefits from a strong consumer. We do have an upping quality focus here, more AAA to single A. And then also in the non-agency space there, I mentioned you have strong mortgage credit, still a good housing market and good underwriting standards. So we like not agencies versus agencies. You can get a similar, actually a slight yield pickup by taking approximately two-thirds of the duration. So that's a space that we still like. One more area, leveraged finance, bank loans and high yield. We're generally underweight to these areas overall based on valuations and currently like kind of a mix, slightly overweighting loans relative to corporate high yield and most of our multi-sector portfolios, but generally staying higher in quality in that base. We have, however, looked at some underperformers in the single B space in high yield and in bank loans that underperformed in 2019. So looking at those areas, but it will come down to selection and positioning. And then EM debt is one area that we're still underweight our long-term averages in our most of our multi-sector funds, but we're seeing some value in some particular countries. I mean, we still are favorable on Brazil, see some value in Mexico, Russia, Indonesia, and Ukraine, to name a few. And tie it all together, valuations are full, as I said earlier, and we think this year will be very important to, we obviously like to pick all the winners, but avoiding the blow-ups versus picking all the winners, because where spreads and yields are, the margin of error is much less with valuations full.
In avoiding those blow-ups, real quick, if I could just finish up with your observation, how do we think about energy and the impact to the high-yield market as the price of oil and natural gas seem to be in significant decline over the last few weeks?
That's a great question, Joe. We've been underweight energy overall, given some of the changing dynamics in that market. It has underperformed significantly in 2019. High-yield energy proxim is up around 5%, with overall high-yield index up over 14%, so significant underperformance. We've been looking at that space for opportunities, and we have found some and some higher-quality energy companies, but still taking very cautious approach, and really it comes down to looking at the balance sheets, looking at the companies with the best assets, and, you know, obviously the leverage and the level of debt these companies have. But absolutely, it is a space that we will take a look at as potential opportunities.
Ben, I want to thank you for your time and certainly for sharing your observations and expectations from not only yourself but the New Fleet team. I look forward in the future to further conversations on Virtus Voices with yourself and New Fleet.
Great. Well, thank you for having me on today, Joe.
For more information, you could always visit virtus.com.